You know, I really enjoyed the study of Josiah that I had the opportunity to do this week. It made me realize, you know, I like to surround myself with doers. I'm sure anyone that takes their Christianity seriously, they like to be surrounded by people that don't just say they're Christians, they're active in their Christian duty. We see in the workplace, bosses are always wanting go-getters. And we see in different parts of society, go-getters are what people want. This needs to come over to the Lord's church. Sometimes this is tied as a youthful type of attitude. And if that be the case, I think we need to look at the useful example of Josiah. See what we can pull from his life and apply to us in our daily walk. Josiah was an interesting character. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1, we read that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old when he became king. You know, I don't remember much about when I was 8 years old. I know that there was probably a better chance that I thought I was a Thundercat than I believed I was ready to be a king. But Josiah was a king. In 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 3, in the 18th year of King Josiah, that being when he was 24 years old, he had a life-changing experience at 24 years of age. In 2 Kings 22 verses 10 and 11, and Shaphan read the law before the king, and Josiah tore his clothes. Hilkiah had found the law of Moses, which had for generations not been used or adhered to. And Josiah asked for the people to inquire to God. He heard what the law was and realized they weren't keeping it. They weren't doing as God would have them to do. And many of the issues that were causing them problems were things that they had done on their own. They needed to get back to God. This 24-year-old... in 2 Kings 22, verse 13 says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, concerning the words of this book." In 2 Kings 22, and verse 13, "Because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do all that is written concerning us." We see that he saw an issue that, you know, they've let us down. Previous generations have dropped the ball, and we are not pleasing to God in His sight. It's imperative for us to get back on the right track. In the reign of horrid carnage that lied in store, it was epic to say the least. And when I say horrid carnage, it's because on the top of my head, I couldn't come up with better terminology for ungodliness. He came and destroyed that which was ungodly. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 2, "And he read in their hearing all the words in the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. He called all the prophets, the priests, called everyone here and said, 'This is the standard. This is what we must live by.'" In 2 Kings 23 and verse 3, "Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant." It didn't matter what their fathers did, what their grandfathers did, or what their great-grandfathers did. On that day, they declared what they would do. And they decided to stand for God and to stand for His plan. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 4, we see that he took all the articles out of the temple for Baal, Asherah, and the host of heaven, burned them and carried their ashes to Bethel. He started to clean house. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 5, he removed idolatrous priests bad kings had ordained. These kings had decided that they would want to reach out to those around them and brought in false priests. and did things that were not pleasing in the sight of God, and Josiah was going to stop that. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 6, he brought the wooden image from the house of the Lord, burned it, ground it to ashes, then threw it on the graves of the common people. It's always amazed me that people would worship wooden images for this very reason, is you can burn a wooden image. You can ground a wooden image into ashes. And you can throw the ashes wherever you want. In 2 Kings 23:7, he tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons in the house of the Lord. He continued to go through, tear things down, and eradicate evilness from the house of the Lord. In 2 Kings 23:8, destroyed the high places at the gate of Joshua. 2 Kings 23:10, he destroyed Molech worship. Baby sacrifices were going to cease while he was the king. In 2 Kings 23:11, he removed the horses and burned the chariots dedicated to the sun at the entrance of the house of the Lord. Previous kings had dedicated horses, dedicated chariots to the sun. If it's not God, it's not right. He removed the horses and burned those chariots. He's going to get things right. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 13, he destroyed the high places established by Solomon and others for the Asheroth, who was god of the Sidonians, Chemosh, who was god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of Ammon. What we saw is the mindset that is in our world today of, you know, let's just include everybody. Everybody's okay. You know, you do your thing, we'll do our thing, and everybody's fine. You want to come in our country? Here, got a place for you to worship your God. It's a terrible mindset to have. There is one God. And we see that Josiah understood this and was ridding the country of these false gods. In 2 Kings 23:14, he broke in pieces the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images and filled their places with the bones of men. In 2 Kings 23:15, Jeroboam made Israel sin. Josiah tore down the altar at Bethel, burned it, crushed it to powder, and burned the wooden image. In 2 Kings 23:16, he took the bones out of the tombs, burned them on the altar, defiling the altar of sin. One of the things in my studies I found is doing something along these lines, putting the bones of people on those pagan altars, defiled their altars. So what he was doing, he was sending a message. He not only said this is wrong, but he said, I'm going to show you that everything about this was wrong. You think that this was good? You think this is right? I'm defiling this. You want to come at me? You want to fight me? I'm the king. He stood strong for what God would have him to do. In 2 Kings 23 and verse 16, Josiah fulfilled prophecy unknowingly. 1 Kings 13:2 talks about a Josiah coming and destroying the things that were against God. And when I say unknowingly, it's not like Josiah could open the Bible as we have it, the canon of 66 books. He didn't open it and go, there's a guy who's prophesied over here. Well, my name is Josiah. I'm king. Well, might as well go do this, fulfill Scripture. No. He had a fire in his heart. He read the law, was angered at what had happened, and did so with righteous indignation, not to fulfill Scripture, but to be right in the sight of God, and it showed the power of God that the Scripture was fulfilled. In 2 Kings 23:19, he took away the shrines of the high places in the cities of Samaria. In 2 Kings 23:20, he executed all the bad priests and burned their bones on the bad altars, again, defiling their altars. In 2 Kings 23:21, he commanded the people to keep the Passover, which hadn't been seen for many generations. He was getting things back in order, putting things back the way that they should be. You know, sometimes people say, well, the Church of Christ, y'all are only a couple hundred years old. If you look back to the restoration movement, say, hold on. The Lord's church never died. We just finally had some people that got some sense, opened their Bibles, did what the Bible said, and went back to how they did things in the first century. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. We do things how the first century church did them. Some people will say, well, you know, if the Church of Christ didn't exist, if the Lord's church didn't have faithful people, then God wasn't loving and God wasn't there. Well, I don't understand that argument. But if we were to take some corn and we were to put it in a bottle and bury it in the ground, and 1,000 years from now, if the corn that we have today has for some reason gone extinct, if we took the corn out of that plastic bottle, planted it in the ground, what would grow? Corn, like today. We see that happening here in Judah. Even though they hadn't been obedient to God, God didn't change His expectation for them. That expectation stayed the same. Josiah brought them back to what God expected for them to do. In 2 Kings 23:24, he put away many different abominations. And in 2 Kings 23:29, he fought Necho, king of Egypt, and died. In 2 Chronicles, Necho said, "Your God has sent me to go and do this." Yet Josiah didn't listen. He fought Necho and he died. You know, some people say, well, why did he do that? Well, if I was wanting to get through somewhere and somebody was going to face opposition, wouldn't you say whatever it took to get them to leave you alone? So whether Necho had been called by God or whether he hadn't, Josiah didn't sin in attacking. But in 2 Kings 23 and verse 30, servants brought him to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb. What example can we take from Josiah? We can study the Word of God. And if there are things that we are not doing in service to God, we need to get right. We need to do so with energy. We need to do so with excitement. We need to do so with great interest. God wants you to be interested. God wants you to be interested. Sharing our faith should be a way of life. It's in the Bible. We look in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. I don't know if anybody has heard of the new Jamberry fingernail stuff. Apparently now, instead of painting your fingernails, you're supposed to put stickers on your fingernails. And they got ducks, and they got all kinds of designs. And the people that sell it, I don't think we have any Jamberry salespeople in here. If we do, y'all are doing it where it's not obnoxious. But, I mean, every time I get on Facebook, new Jamberry order coming in, new Pampered Chef order coming in. Hey, everybody, I'm doing Plexus, I think that's a new diet thing. Hey, 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 I'm selling this. Hey, get a hold of me. Hey! It's obnoxious. It's annoying. And what's even worse is we've got brothers or sisters in Christ that will share the snot out of this Plexus, these Jamberries, all these different things. But if you ask them to share the gospel, they're going to go, well, I wouldn't want to make somebody upset. You know, I'm not real comfortable going over to somebody and telling them about Jesus. But you'll tell them about stickers for your fingernails? Come on. Come on. We need to have that same interest and energy for things we're trying to sell to something that's even more important, that being the gospel. So we consider, we don't need to be interested in what our plans are. It's fine to want to sell some Jamberry nails. That's great. Knock yourself out. Polka dots with eagles. I don't care. Whatever you make on a sticker to put on your fingernails, feel free. I'm not going to do it. Cade might do it, but I'm not going to do it. But if you're going to have that amount of passion for fingernails. We got to have that same passion for the counsel of God. In Proverbs 19:21, a Shane who had all the preparation of 30 seconds, hey, you want to do scripture reading? It's like, what scripture? So I'm thumbing through my notes. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Jamberry fingernails are going to go away. Pampered chef, going to go away. Anything that plexus is going to go away. I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of things we can think about that people are selling. Those things are going to stay here. God's plan isn't. God's word isn't. When we share the good news, we're sharing something far more important than making a buck here on earth. We're sharing the good news that has eternal ramifications. If God wants us to be interested, it's one thing to be interested, it's another thing to be energized. One thing to be energized. I love Chris. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Y'all know it. But I love Chris. I was drawn to Chris. I didn't draw Chris. I was drawn to Chris. I'm not a very good drawer, but he's a pretty guy. So, I mean, I'm sure it'd be nice. But we met at the Shenandoah Lectures in 2010. We both spoke on the lectures. And I remember a group of us started going out to eat. And Lisa and I, we didn't have any kids yet, and we would sit with the Grotus, and they would just keep us in stitches. And Chris has a charisma about him, an energy. I liked being around him and Lena, and we kept in touch. And I was always uplifted and talking to him. He has an energy about him. I'm sure everybody agree, this energy, this motor that keeps him active in the Lord's work. So when he called the School of Preaching, because we're buddies, and said, hey, you know, North Jefferson, we're thinking about bringing on a second guy. You got anybody in mind? I'm like, yeah, me. I want to come. Have a chance to work under the elders here, to get to work with Chris, to be energized, to get to do the work. It's exciting. And God wants you to be energized too. God wants us to be energized. And this energy isn't just a frenetic energy, this busy for the sake of being busy. Energy comes from different types of places, different types of people. Have you ever heard of a quiet energy, a silent strength? We have all different types of energy. Not everybody can be as loud and goofy and not care what people think like me and Chris can. But some people have a good energy about them, that they're able to do the work of the Lord in a way that is going to reach out to others that Chris and I might not be able to reach, or no one else might be able to reach. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, what we see is the conclusion. Paul is seeing the writing on the wall. He knows his death is imminent. In the prison epistles, there was always hope at the end of his letters. I'll see you soon. Save a room for me. And at the end of this epistle, it wasn't going to be that way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we read, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. You know, we consider this type of energy that Paul had. You know, it's often joked about in the church where there's something that needs to be done. Let's have a meeting about it. Let's get a group together. Let's have a meeting on it. We need to be a people that is ready to do, ready to work. When it's our time to work, let's work on congregational things. We need to be an excited family working together with great interest and great energy. But let's get down to brass tacks. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, if we're going to climb the tower, let's ring the bell. If we're going to say we're Christians, let's live it. And let's live it to the fullest potential there is. you're here this morning, we're so glad you're here this morning. This isn't Christianity. This isn't what defines us. This is where we come together to stir one another up and give worship to the Almighty Creator of the universe. Our Christianity is in that mission field that we walk into when we leave those doors. Let's bring an interest. Let's bring an energy. Let's live as we should live. We see Josiah, 2 Kings 23:25. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor after him did any arise like him. This young man who was excited about God was like no other king that there was. He was interested. He was energized. When we go to the book of the Lord, when we see what God would have us to do, are we doing it? You know, there's a child's game that we play. We'll say, Simon says. And right now, if I said, Simon says, pat your head. We get all kinds of, all over here, even the college kids are patting their heads. Simon says, stop. We say, Simon says, the people will do what Simon says. But if we say, God says, we memorize the Scripture. It's great to memorize Scripture, but we need to be doers. We need to see when there is an issue. We need to stand strong like Josiah did. We need to follow the youthful example of Josiah, no matter what our age is, so that we can stand strong for our Almighty God. God wants you to be interested. God wants you to be energized. You know, when it comes to education, I know Chris will do this, I'll do this, the elders will do this. What would you like to learn about? What is something we could do a class on that would interest you? And we still stand by that. If there is something that will engage you in your Christianity, let us know. Let us know. If there's something that's going to get you active, excited, interested, energized, let us know. We want everybody to be the strongest Christian they can be, not only in name, but indeed being doers of the Word. So what are you going to do with what you know? It's up to you. You're going to stand before God on the day of judgment, and God is going to ask you, did you do your best to share the gospel? Did you study the Word of God? Were you more interested in selling Jamberry nails than you were sharing the gospel with people? We have to stand strong, brethren. We've got to put God first and precious lost souls hang in the balance if our efforts aren't done as we should. You know, this morning, oftentimes you say, here we go, here's the conclusion, and we tune out and get our songbooks out, but hold off. If you're not right with God, do whatever it takes to get right with God. If you haven't shown the energy, if you haven't shown the interest that you should, if Josiah is an example you would like to be more like, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let's find a way to allow all of us to be active for the kingdom. But if you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. If you've heard that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe in Him, as John 3:16 states, you're ready to repent of your sins. As Christ said in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, as Romans 10:9 and 10 states, to be saved. Yeah, you got to confess to be saved, but that's not the end. You've got to be baptized for the remission of sins, as 1 Peter 3:21 also says, to be saved. But as Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 says, that it's at baptism that we walk in a newness of life, and then we live the best life that there is to live. That being the Christian life. Do whatever it takes to get right with God. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and sing.